The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
And good morning, San Diego. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is out today, and we're going to talk, hopefully, about plant, yard, garden, and Northern California today.
Not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily in that order. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent.
You're probably running a little late, a little short on sleep, though, right?
Exactly.
I'm fine at the moment. I'm guessing I'm going to be quite tired later, but got back from a long road trip at just before midnight last night.
And here you are.
And here I am, the consummate professional.
Dedicated.
Yes, sir. There was a different word my daughter used to describe it when she said, "You're doing radio tomorrow?" Yes, Aj, I am.
Well, we're glad you're back safely here.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a very nice trip and drove up last Sunday morning, left here at 5:15 in the morning. It only took little over six hours to get to Oakland. At 7 hours? Was it close? No, it must have been seven. It must be seven. 500 miles, 7 hours, no traffic. I mean, all the way up.
It was Mother's Day. Everybody was home doing things.
It was a little different yesterday afternoon coming back from Oakland.
It wasn't Mother's Day.
It was an 8-plus-hour drive. Same exact drive in the opposite direction, but very different. Beautiful up there. We'll talk about that in 2 minutes.
My guess. Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
Not very many people are going to be driving to Oakland.
Well, it's on its way. It was on the way to someplace.
I'm not saying that. You're right.
I gotcha. You're totally right. But that's another part of this whole story.
Exactly.
It was beautiful up there everywhere. Oakland, San Francisco, and parts north, which I expected parts north, but I had different expectations of downtown San Francisco. Yeah. But we're not talking about that right now. We haven't said, well, we said good morning. Did somebody going to talk about the overcast this morning? There was no pretty sky.
There was no moon. There were no stars. It was overcast. But it's warming up. It was 62 when I left.
And we're supposed to have a little bit of weather this week. You know, it was that nice in, well, we're not talking about it right now, but in Northern California, the sun came out every day and not a drop of rain. It was perfect up there. And when I say northern.
You mean northern.
I mean northern.
Way up there.
So 300 miles plus north of San Francisco. Gosh, it's pretty up there. I haven't been up there for 20 years. And it's just like I remember it.
You said there's elk in the same place that there was elk 20 years
ago. Yes, but now the road where you pull over to watch the elk is a side street and not the main 101, which really makes Prairie Creek, Gold Bluff State Beach, and Fern Canyon. My daughter wanted to do stuff that she remembered doing as a kid and wanted to go see it again while they were out.
Oh, that's nice.
They were out for a wedding in Geyserville. Not Gurneyville, not Gerberville, but Geyserville. And so I went and met him up there.
Fern Canyon full of California native ferns?
It was. And including the walls are covered with five-finger maidenhair ferns, which I proudly pointed out to my daughter, Adiantum pedatum. And then she said, "Dad, none of them have five fingers. So why do they call it a five-finger maidenhair?" Because some of them had four, most of them had six, seven, or eight. But very few of them had five. And I don't know, was my answer. Is that good?
Totally fair. Yeah.
We did see elk up there. And, gosh, it's beautiful up there. And the Redwoods, Avenue of the Giants, is no longer, well, I guess it never was, or at least parts of it weren't, on the main drag. So it's on a side, it's on the business loop of the 101. So you can just take your time and cruise up there. And
with your sunroof open?
With my sunroof open. And I was looking at the road most of the time.
Right.
But the those trees are magnificent up there. And I've been up there many times, but I'd forgotten. And I guess it's spending a lot of time down here makes you forget about how gorgeous it can be up there. And
life gets in the way.
And it is so quiet. Just off of the road, you can't hear the road anymore. And the forest floor absorbs all of that sound. You know what I did notice scared me, is there is significant poison oak in the redwood forest, which I don't remember as a kid, and fortunately I didn't suffer any consequences. But 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 feet up the trunks of trees is poison oak.
Really?
And it's all over the trails, little seedlings and sproutlings plus mature plants. And I never remember it as a kid. Either it wasn't there, or I just don't remember it.
No one pointed it out to you, perhaps.
Yeah, but it's on all the signs. Leaves of three, don't you touch. But very, very nice. If anybody is looking for something to do, get away. And I was able to watch a little less television, listen to less talk radio. And Audrey was telling me about some book she's reading. And if you get rid of all of that poison, it helps your perspective of everything else be a little nicer.
I agree with that, absolutely.
And
yeah, I agree too, but...
So I had to listen, and I didn't listen, and it was wonderful.
Well, good. Well, we're glad you had a good trip.
It was really
the kids in your back safely.
Really neat. Thank you. So, weather?
You're the resident.
All right, we're going to have... Okay, so all weekend, every afternoon through Monday.
So that would be what, Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday afternoon, there's a chance of thunderstorms greater in the mountains and greater chance today than tomorrow. And then Monday, it becomes cooler than average by a few degrees.
It has been overcast and cool the last several days. It has not been very nice, at least somebody who wants a lot of sun.
It was very warm up in Northern California, so I guess you guys should have gone
north
yeah, to enjoy the weather. Do we have any classes coming up, Mr. What's your name? Almond? George.
Work. Yeah, we do have classes coming up. I guess everybody's gardens are starting to thrive and the pests are out, because in San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's pest management with James. And at 9:30 in Poway, it is organic insect controls with me.
I laugh because the insects on the Central Valley and parts north, it was hard to see last night coming home through the...
Yes.
Fortunately, we had some timely fog to rinse my windshield because I ran out of fluid on the way back. I guess, is that one of the things you're supposed to check when you're getting gasolina?
That would be the show after this you might want to listen to and give a phone call.
Oh, one more thing. On the way up, we stopped at a Shell station next to the In-N-Out Burger in some little town about an hour north of San Francisco. And then when we got to our destination up in Trinidad, I went to get my credit card to give to the... Yeah, I left it in a gas pump because it wouldn't let me have it back. You know, it's released quickly. It wouldn't let me have it back. And so I called the Shell station when I got to points north, and they didn't have it. And so I just put my card on hold. I should have ordered a new one. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to stop there on the way back. And I stopped there on the way back, and guess what I got?
Your card back.
I got my card back.
Any charges rung up on it?
No. Somebody had brought it in and turned it in.
Well, was
nobody had charged
them.
Anything, but I did put it on. I suspended charges
to
it.
That was very kind of the individual that found it to bring it in.
It really was.
Restores some hope in man.
Yes.
Behind. Yep.
Okay.
Good.
Sorry. Now, classes. Would you repeat those? Because I was so busy remembering I got my credit card back.
Bug day.
It's bug day. So in San Diego at 9 o'clock, pest management with James, and at 9:30 in Poway, organic insect controls with me.
Yep. Who's me? Oh, George Almond?
That would be me.
That's going to be a PowerPoint presentation?
It will be a PowerPoint and displays.
Did somebody put the cover over there?
Everything's done.
Oh, thank goodness there's somebody organized there.
Yeah, we're
well,
good.
Well done.
Just take you out of the loop and everything will get
and
done.
And everything will be all right. And next week?
In next week on Saturday, May 27th, there are no classes in Poway in recognition of as we move forward in Memorial Day. But San Diego will have a pollinators class at 9 a.m.
All right.
And that is it for the next.
I did learn in the north that the pollinators are important.
I think you, if you've listened to this show, you might have recognized that as well from here.
Would you just give a quick, I want a brief preview of what Memorial Day is for? Or is it to, you know?
We'll do that. We're going to be here next week.
All right.
We'll talk about it next week.
Oh, you don't want to mention it too many times?
Yeah, nah, you bore people.
Okay. And
short attention spans.
Short attention span theater with the little silhouettes in the back of the heads with the antenna or headphones on. Short attention span theater. You don't watch late night TV?
No.
I haven't for a long time. There's little robots in the lower right corner, just their silhouette as they comment on.
I thought that was Mystery Theater 2000 or something.
It might be.
Okay. It's,
maybe I've just, because I have a short attention span, I didn't pay attention to it. I had something else very important to ask you. How does sound over the radio? Is it good? It's good quality.
You can do one. But you can't. You can't use it.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. oops. In my absence, how's the fair coming along?
It is coming along nicely. We spent the last 2 days prepping a little bit more. We have a lot of plants installed with a large quantity to still be installed as we place them in our spot. The rest of the displays are coming along nicely. There's some beautiful displays being put together at the fair right now. Not just ours. I mean everybody. There's just lots of good effort going on. A lot of activity.
There, yeah. A beehive? A pollinator?
A pollinator of activity
yes.
is happening. Yes.
Good to know. When does the fair, in a couple, it's like the 7th or 9th
yes,
of
usually middle of June.
June.
Or not the middle, early. Beginning of June, yeah.
I saw the pictures you sent me, and I would have sworn from looking at those pictures that you were somewhere near me in Redwood State Park, but it was so close.
Yeah, it was
very similar.
Very similar.
Very similar forest.
Our trees are just a bit younger, so just a tad shorter than the ones you were looking at.
300 plus feet, and it is really neat. Looking straight up, and sometimes when I was stopped, not necessarily
driving,
and seeing where the trees have encroached upon the roadway and where they have been permanently scarred by passing cars or trailers, just shaved off one side of the trunk. And then there was a dead trailer, a fifth wheel that must have hit something.
Yeah, it didn't make it.
It didn't make it, but it was in a little turnout up there.
Was it a permanent display?
It looks like it was a semi-permanent display. Okay. It didn't look like it just had parked there. It had been there for a little while, folded. When does it start?
So the fair starts on June 7th through July 4th, and it is the theme this year is Get Out There.
Well, I've already done that.
You did. So you don't have to go to the fair this year.
I do not. I may have brought you a branch to throw in, but not collected from a state park.
I understand.
Or national
yes.
park. Just want to make sure we're clear on
something
that.
Where'd you find it on the
it was on private property. It was on private property, and it was offered to me as a token of friendship
between the North and the South.
Yes. Does that sound good?
Sounds yeah. authentic.
If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. You are listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. We're going to take a break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you have any questions or want to share something important about all the rain coming up or something, give us a call.
All the rain.
888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. I do have one more piece. Well, I told you it was clean in San Francisco.
In the area you were in.
I walked 15 minutes plus in multiple directions and never felt threatened or smelled anything inappropriate, which surprised me. But, Mark Mahady, I cannot believe you never told me about this.
What's that?
But on Sunday night, my kids and I went and had dinner at the House of Prime Rib on Van Ness Street in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have never been to the House of Prime Rib on Van Ness Street in San Francisco, not only was it clean getting to and fro, but boy, that was a nice meal.
Yes.
And presentation. It was really neat, and the kids had a really good time. And so did their father.
Very good.
I can't believe I've never
I've only been there once myself, but...
You were keeping it a secret. You didn't want me to eat all the prime rib, didn't
correct.
You?
That is so correct. I know you.
All right. Uh-oh.
I would love a nice summer rain. That's something I do miss that we don't get here.
Well, drive out to the mountains today. We're going to have a early summer rain in spring.
I was going to say, it's not summer
I meant
summer
where
yet.
I live without having to go somewhere to find it.
You know, George, sometimes what you are looking for doesn't come to you, but you have to
go out and find it.
You have to go find it.
Okay.
Yes. That was a saying that came to me on the forest floor this week. No?
Thank you, Henry Thoreau.
All right. Let us.
On Walden Pond.
You know, it says Rose in La Mesa, and that scares me that it's going to be my sister, but let's go to La Mesa and talk to Rose and see if it's Rose or Rose. Good morning, Rose. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. I forgot. There we go. Good morning. Uh-oh. No, right there. Good morning, Rose. It's a participation sport.
This is La Mesa Rose. I have a couple of pepper plants, like an ancho, a wonderbell, and one from Spain. And some critter is eating holes in the leaves, not the edges, but the actual leaves. I've sprayed with neem oil, which I love. I've sprayed with spinosad, and I've put down snail bait, and they're still eating my pepper plants. I don't see anything on them. I don't see any bugs or anything, but I just don't know what else I can do.
I have an idea.
Well, I want to hear your idea because she just said everything that I would have suggested to do. So what's your idea?
She didn't mention Sluggo Plus.
She said Sluggo. Well, you put snail bait down, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
Maybe I need to put it down more than once.
Well,
that's a good point. Which one did you put down? What snail bait?
Oh, it's in the garage, honey. I can't remember. It's the kind that's not poisonous to, like, cats or dogs.
Probably Sluggo. Yeah. But
Tori's is also not so it could be another one. But Sluggo Plus.
Are you going to work with me on this?
Are
you
going to
keep? Are we? What's going on here?
If it's Sluggo, that will work with the snails and slugs. However, things like earwigs are problematic on leaves.
And sow bugs, too.
And sow bugs. And if you're not seeing evidence of droppings that might, you know, indicate a caterpillar, then maybe Sluggo Plus.
Try the Sluggo Plus for the crawlers, because I have seen, not this year, but last year when I put my peppers out, on day two they had been destroyed that night, and I happened to be out locking up chickens, so I saw the sow bugs all over them. And try the Sluggo Plus. I think that'll take care of it.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. I love your program. Just absolutely love it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rose.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now I have to do something else again. I have to... Oh, I don't have to.
So, just for everyone else, why the Sluggo Plus? What makes it work for the other insects?
The directions.
Okay, that'll do it.
It has spinosad in it that is formulated to kill crawling insects when they go across it naturally. So it's still safe to use on your edibles. It's still safe for your dogs and cats. It'll get rid of your sow bugs.
Right. It is organic, and it still has the iron phosphate to kill the snails and slugs, but the added ingredient works well for the creepy crawlies, including cutworms.
I agree.
So it does work. Yep. We just put it all around our roses because of earwigs. Every time Capri would bring roses in the house, the earwigs would come out. We put it in, and we've already, like in 3 days, have noticed a decline in earwigs.
All right. And what did you use?
Sluggo Plus.
Because?
Well, because it's organic and we're trying to grow things organically. But more importantly, it kills earwigs.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you very much. Before I left, I was doing work in the yard and I mulched my vegetables. And I had an old bin of hay left over from the animal days, which has been around for a long time.
I guess I don't remember you having animals of late. So
that's how long it's been. And as I was moving this out, this dusty rodent smell came over me, and I started thinking, oh, great, hantavirus. And I did find a bunch of
droppings,
field mice in this container. That
the deer mice are the big carriers, those little deer
I wouldn't
mice.
Know a deer mouse okay. from a field mouse, would you?
I do. I have pictures where I moved the lawnmower, and out came some deer mice. So, but
what do you think was hiding in my
hay? Oh, it could very well be. Absolutely.
All right. Well, anyway, they're gone, and I was pretty concerned, but apparently, well, I
Did
have
you
another
clean it
2 weeks to go. Yes, but I used it as nice mulch around my veggies while I was gone. But one of my neighbors was watching things and watering for me, but I got a picture yesterday after the neighbor's dog, fortunately in a different neighbor's yard and not mine, had inhaled one of the foxtails from the weeds. And we've had such an incredible weed
exactly.
season. Now that the burrs are starting to dry and come off, they are problematic for people and animals. And fortunately, they were able to get into the vet and get that out. But there's a nice picture of the dog's snout and the half-inch to three-quarter-inch long dry burr that had to be removed.
Yeah, I had to do that once with one of the dogs.
Did you guys get all of your weeds under control, or are they still...
We have. Our riding lawnmower has malfunctioned, so it's actually up on jack stands in the garage so I can attack it and try to fix it. So we've been doing it with a regular lawnmower, which is a challenge on 2 acres.
It's not self-propelled?
It does have it does have a gear to drive one of the wheels, but it's not the riding lawnmower.
It's not the same.
It's not the riding lawnmower.
Not the same,
My neighbor has a riding mower, and I think about certain areas and how convenient that would be. But I like to get a little exercise while I'm out there. You know, I don't lead a life of leisure like some of you may.
Well, our lawn area is actually more of just domesticated weeds. That we have a nice little lawn in the back, but the front, we just have to keep it under control or to keep the weeds from going to seed, and we've been a little remiss this year.
Wet weather.
Well, it's been perfect.
It's been wonderful for the weeds and for the snails and slugs. They're everywhere right now, more so than I've seen in years.
Most seasons, our wet periods are punctuated with dry area times so that they don't grow very well. But this year, they have been...
Perfect storm.
Yes.
Really but on the other, have. You know, the flip side is it's been great for the fruit trees and stuff. So, if you know, your fruit trees probably look a little bit better than they have in the past. At least ours have.
They do. And I was worried about it with all the rain that we were going to have bad fruit set. And I haven't noticed that being a problem.
Okay.
Most of my trees have good fruit set on them. Have you
I
noticed that?
I think our largest problem right now has been gophers, more so than ever before, an explosion on the property of gophers.
I was pretty excited this morning when I looked at one of my gopher traps.
Was it a gopher hawk?
Gopher hawk. It was...
Yellow.
It was yellow.
Yellow's a nice sign.
And I was going nice to leave it and just tell you guys about the gopher I got while I was gone, but I went and took it out of the hole and it had just tripped.
Ah.
So I was faked out. I got
Sorry.
No
That has happened
it was
to
very
me as
sad.
Well.
Very, very sad.
We have an Eva's Pride, relatively young peach tree that is starting to lean significantly, and it is there's gopher.
You think it's most of the roots have been eaten?
That's my initial assessment. I'm going to go down there later today and flood it out and see what I can
do.
Does
it have fruit on it?
It does, yeah.
I did get one by flooding last week right before
I've gotten two recently by flooding, yeah.
You were telling us a few weeks ago about the peach leaf curl on your
spicy nectar plum in
particular. Is it growing out of it now that the weather's changed?
It is. You know, the older leaves are severely damaged, but the newer leaves are starting to come out clean. which is nice. And we talk about that. We say that you just give it some time, feed it, maintain the tree, and they will the new growth that's going to be pushed should be much healthier when you get through the weather.
Well, people always get paranoid that their tree's going to die.
Correct.
Right.
What do I do? What do I do? Well, yeah. Call 888-344-1170 and ask if there's anything you can, should, or need to do. And
for that particular one, what is the answer?
Nothing.
This time of year.
Yeah, at this time of year.
You're a little late.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. But if you had listened to us in, say, November, we might have been mentioning, or even December, we might have mentioned what the cure would have been or the preventative would have been.
Huh. So since you brought that up, did you spray back in November?
I sprayed in January. One application somewhere between the rain days.
Only one?
I only got one in.
One ping only?
One ping. But I did
what do they recommend?
Three.
Well, it depends. You know, when I listen to some of our guys that teach our classes for trees, they say, you know, if you had a really severe year the year prior, then you want to get at least three applications, and otherwise two. I got one, and I should have done three.
Probably better than most, but yes.
And I did get two hort oil sprays in. I got an earlier one and a later one.
Oh, good. So you got all of the overwintering western flower thrips, so you didn't have any damage on the fruit, none of those little light brown lines?
No, sadly, it did not impact them. They still came, and they still damaged.
Do you know where I'm headed with this?
That it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have damage?
Más o menos.
Okay, where are you heading?
Yeah.
That is more or less where I was headed.
You have to be proactive. I mean, that's where you're heading.
I sprayed mine that one time because I promised you guys I would, and I painted myself into a spraying corner with the copper. So I did.
And you still had Peach Leaf Girl.
Yeah, but it's...
minimal.
It depends on the trees and what stage they were in when the rains hit.
Exactly, and also where they are in the yard. I mean, we have... you know, some peach trees on a far end of a yard and nectarines and peaches on the other, and one side gets it more so than the other.
The cooler, moisture areas seem more susceptible.
Shaded, yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
And that is more of an issue in those areas.
Yep.
We're on the same page?
Yes, sir.
All right. That doesn't happen often. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. We're going to take a break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you would like to give us a call about your grapes or anything else gardening related, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170.
Are you harvesting anything? Well, not in the last 6 hours that you've been home, but over the last weeks or so, have you been harvesting from the garden?
In the last 6 hours, I have harvested from the garden.
Oh, wow. I apologize. What were you harvesting?
Pixie mandarins.
Okay.
I took a bunch on the road trip, and I picked a couple this morning for breakfast.
Very good. Yummy, huh?
They were.
We have a super abundance of onions still. Big, nice, round yellow onions and bulbs. And
you're such a bragger.
A lot of them, we planted our normal rows, but we had so many plants that went to seed.
Right.
Because I'm a lazy gardener, that we have, you know, little outcroppings everywhere of onions growing. So we've been eating onions with nearly every meal.
That's very good.
I love onions.
Yes. I have a bowl with onions in it in the kitchen sink that I harvested. But after the gophers got to them, I stopped taking care of them. So I have a bunch of seed heads and some very small bulbed onions, but nothing to speak of. But I do... and have noticed that the grapes are doing quite well. And
yes, they are.
You know, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but after you get north of San Francisco, there are a lot of grapes being grown up in that
really?
Area.
Are there like some, do they wine? What do they do up there?
I don't know. Yeah. I just saw.
Are they wild wines or they look like they're.
Wild wines? Yes, there's wild wines growing on the vines.
I meant to say wild grapes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of how you pronounced wine. Vine.
I meant to say, I didn't mean to say vines or wild grapes, but too much coffee, not enough coffee. Are they wild? Are they trained? Are they, you know, all those?
They look like they're trained.
Really?
Yes. And we saw some head-pruned ones in one field.
I like head-pruning.
Me too.
My
what a great way.
My house in PQ had that. It works well.
And what is that? Just a
stake with, you let the vine grow up a single pole, and then you train the top to be like a little shrub, basically.
And it arches down and trails out, and you don't have to support it.
I was in a winery in Australia. It was from the 1800s, and they had a large...
You were back?
No, the winery was from that time. I was there in the, many times, but it was in Western Australia, and one of their grape vines was basically a grape tree in the front of the entrance. It was, you know, very large trunk, and it was just, it must have been head pruned for years, and it was spectacular. It just looked really neat.
Every inch of land that we drove past for, I don't know, a couple of hours was all covered with grapes. But I had
really
finally pruned some of mine. I have a tendency to let them go and let them grow, and they become a mess. However, harvesting hanging grapes out of my avocado tree in the summer is pretty cool, but it's also nice maybe just having it in one small area.
Exactly.
Does the avocado tree suffer from lack of light on that particular side?
It doesn't seem to. Okay. It is suffering more from a lack of light from the seedlings that I have allowed to grow underneath. But it's taken over sections of it. But do you have any grapes, Marky?
I do not. No, I had a grape and it was doing well, and it got everywhere, so I just kind of...
You over-pruned it?
Yes.
Shovel-pruned it?
Yes.
Oh,
intentionally,
really?
Or unintentionally?
Well, it was intentionally. Yeah, it was intentional at the very end.
I get it. Grapes are good for you, so you didn't want to eat them.
No, of course not.
Okay.
Muscat. It was excellent grape. Too.
That's such the flavor.
Yeah, I love
it. Oh, but it has seeds. Yeah, but it has the best flavor.
I totally agree.
Period.
And the seeds are the seeds are not a problem.
No, not at all.
I like the texture, but they're good for you.
Right.
Right. You can buy grape nuts in the store, which are seeds of grapes, aren't they?
Well, I hope not.
No, they are not.
Okay.
What else?
Wasn't that Yule Gibbons that used to do the grape nuts commercials?
It was, yes.
Ever eat a pine tree? Some parts are edible.
Yule Gibbons, yes.
The late, great the Yule late. Gibbons. Do you have any grapes on?
We have one in Poway, and then the house in PQ, I think I have like six or eight growing.
And were they head pruned as
the
little
PQ,
tree?
The PQ are head pruned, and then this one's on a fence in Poway. Look, they're doing well this year. We cut them back really severely last year, and a little less this year. But they're just full of fruit right now.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are saying, "Yeah, David, he just told you that the PQ house had head pruned grapes. Are you not listening?"
Well, that would be a yes.
I thought about listening.
I'm here. Why not? I've got headphones on. What else might you be harvesting soon from your yard? Any vegetables or not yet?
No. Actually, the first cherry tomatoes, they're fully sized. They haven't started to color up yet, but they're fully sized. And it is fun to watch. Well, the six packs that you and I split, they looked great when you and I split them. Mine looked really bad after they spent the next 4 weeks still sitting in their six packs. I watered them every day. I was good about the water.
Still,
but with no nutrients in that soil and the tiny little root ball of a six pack, they weren't happy and they looked crummy to describe them horticulturally. Yeah.
That's a technical term.
Crummy. It's the horticultural term. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said it. But it's the transformation that takes place. Usually, I don't know, somewhere between 2 and 5 days when putting them in the ground and they look just like they did when you put them in the ground. Right. But then all of a sudden, the microbial activity, to borrow a phrase, starts to happen and they transform into beautiful deep green as they are starting to root in and become a part of their environment and surroundings. I enjoy watching that transformation because once it happens, then they take off and then they're
Providing you continue to care for them.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Why are you looking at me with crossed arms like that?
I'm saying to get past that point, you have to take care of them. Otherwise, they look really good for about 5 or 6 or 8 days, and then they decline.
Or you could leave town for a week and have a neighbor take care of them for you.
Somebody must.
If you're lucky. Yes.
And they probably, quite honestly, they might have taken better care, if I may be so bold.
They probably
went over there and watered it very, very diligently. Make sure they got plenty of water, and they probably watered it more frequently than you might have.
To make sure that when I came back, that everything wasn't dead.
That's right.
People aren't responsible.
So now you can kill it.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We harvested some artichokes last week. And
oh, wow. Okay.
Talking about earwigs.
Yeah, magnets. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So
or
put
aphids?
Them in a big,
you get aphids in them too?
Sometimes, but this wasn't – the aphids aren't out yet on those. But, okay. Cut them, stuck them in a big bowl of water with a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
And it was like just scurrying earwigs everywhere, coming off the plant, crawling, trying to get out of the water, crawling out of the bowl. It was quite an event.
Yeah. You need to get some chickens.
We do need to get some chickens.
They will take care of that for you.
They also will take care of your plants.
You know, the whole reason I have a chicken coop at home and that huge run for my chickens is so that they wouldn't destroy everything in their path. But my neighbor's chickens, chickens have been hanging out. And they did make a couple of like little nesting burrows they excavate in my garden, but they didn't destroy my peppers or tomatoes, and they didn't even kick all of the mulch out of the way.
We let them out in the PQ house, and they wouldn't eat the tomatoes, any of the solanaceae, so the potatoes and eggplant, they didn't touch those, the peppers, but my goodness, they ate everything else. And they did, like you said, they made these little nesting things. They just kicked out dirt of my asparagus. The asparagus bed was destroyed. Just everything was taken out of it. And as they used their feet to clean and look for insects, they were pulling the roots out. They did a great job of clearing roots if you wanted to plant something else.
Well, they were doing that to the avocado tree, and instead of complaining, I put chicken wire under the avocado tree, and it's tripped me a couple of times, but they don't get to it. Yeah, they don't mess with it.
Is that why they
anymore.
Name it, call it chicken wire?
Maybe. That's why I call it chicken wire. Is that what it's called?
I have no idea what you put down. So
chicken wire. Chicken wire. Isn't there a wire called chicken wire?
There is.
Wire?
That's why. Yes, there is. But there are other wires as well.
It looks very similar to drywall wire.
Ah.
But if you buy drywall wire, you get much more wire for much less money than if you buy chicken wire. So really, it's actually drywall wire.
Does it hold up to the elements as well as chicken?
It seems to.
Well, good.
I mean, the walls are still standing under the tree.
There's no
relevance. You were harvesting. Oh, you were. I'm sorry. You were harvesting your artichokes. I'm a foodie. Do we agree? A fruity?
Yes.
And a vegetable-y.
Mm-hmm.
Not an artichoke guy.
I don't get artichokes.
Well, neither do we. It was given to me. Actually, you gave me that artichoke plant
they're
a couple years ago.
Though,
they're
right?
very easy,
so
to grow.
Easy to grow.
And we, we cooked them in a different style than just steaming them. And I didn't get it. I'm like, this is not very good. I don't like it.
I've grown them.
It makes no sense to me. And this is from somebody who will go through a bag of sunflower seeds one at a time for that tiny little kernel. But artichokes make no sense.
And I'm with you.
Okay.
So the remaining fruit that are the flower heads that remain, I think I'm going to offer them to a friend who likes them a lot.
Fair enough.
I remember being up at Humboldt State when I was going to school up there and going over to a friend's apartment, and he was pretty excited about boiling an artichoke. Oh, it's really good. It tastes like sunflower seeds, and you get this little tiny piece at the base of the stems and you boil it just right. What?
Yeah. No.
When I was growing up, it was very popular. They'd steam them, my aunts and uncles and parents, and steam them and then just dip them in butter or mayonnaise and I mean, all it was a butter delivery device.
Well, anything with butter or mayonnaise on, it's going to taste good.
Yeah, you just take a spoonful of butter, and you get the same impact.
I had some dried pork flakes on some kind of a special bread from the Korean bakery yesterday, and it was a mayonnaise sauce, and that's primarily what you could taste, and it was really good.
The mayonnaise sauce.
Mayonnaise sauce on butter. I mean, on bread. I did get a ham and cheese sandwich there, and the best part of that was the bread. And that was nice in that neighborhood, too.
Did they have gluten-free bread?
I'm sorry, George.
Just in case. He didn't check. In case we roll through there.
Yeah. I wasn't. Yes, I'm sure they don't for you. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you would like to give us a call, I have a question. The number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. I was just going to complain about the Limu Emu commercial for
Liberty
Mutual, but since I'm talking about it, I guess it's working. But yeah. Does it make any sense to either of you?
I don't even care.
I don't think I'm familiar with it. I don't listen or watch TV. We don't have cable TV of any sort or any kind of antenna, so we
don't
see it.
Okay, it's on radio too. But
I think I dismiss it in my brain as soon as stuff like that comes on.
So. Speaking of dismissing it, we were talking about artichokes before we went into the break.
Them. You dismiss them.
And we dismiss them. But is there anything else going on in the Guardian? It's May. You said something important about fertilizing or something?
Well, for fruit trees, I don't know which schedule you subscribe to.
Whenever.
But, exactly. You know, when we have our classes, Richard Wright from Edible Eden teaches a fruit tree class, and his regime is to fertilize in February, May, August. Those are his big dates.
Those are great goals.
They are.
That is a great goal.
Yep. But you just do it whenever. And I do mostly whenever. I mean, I try to adhere to something so that I know I've fertilized, but I will go out there and throw stuff out on a fairly regular basis.
How do the trees look right now?
Almost all of them look phenomenal. They are doing really well. And I said the almost because of the peach leaf curl. That just detracts from it.
There's always going to be a little something.
But you know what doesn't have peach leaf curl?
Your citrus.
Nor the plums. Plums do not have it either.
I wonder why. Let's see. Peach. Yeah, maybe because there's no peach in it or nectarine in it.
Yeah.
No, the plums look really good, although I'm starting to get some aphids on one of them.
There's so much.
So you're going to get something, right?
And the aprium's starting to get some.
You know, it's weird. The plums get what looks like peach leaf curl, and usually it's because that new growth is so encrusted with aphids.
Exactly.
They're all twisted and torn around.
That's
and
where I was going. There'll be some spraying this weekend. Yeah.
Mine don't have much new growth on them, probably because they haven't been fertilized yet. They need to be fed.
You got to get that May feeding in as May starts winding down. We're in the 20th already, May 20th.
That is what they say. How about thinning? Do you guys do any fruit thinning?
I don't.
I do to some degree. I probably should do more on the grapefruit, which took a beating because there was so much fruit on it and damaged a lot of the branches. But I do try to thin, about 5 or 6 inches.
Do you know why they call
it
grapefruit?
Because there is... Smaller than grapes, bigger
because
than grapes.
They grow in clusters like grapes,
right?
And they
so they're supposed to be there.
Yeah, but
I don't count citrus as thinning.
I don't thin citrus typically, but the grapefruit was still too young to carry the amount of fruit that it carried, and it damaged a lot of the branches.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay,
that's what I'm referring to.
I understand
from that perspective.
So if the branches are hanging down to the ground because they are loaded with fruit,
yeah, you can
on citrus or just in general.
Period.
I certainly would prune them. I mean, thin them out a little bit.
Correct.
And you'll get better fruit. You'll get larger fruit if you thin.
No, I agree.
Okay. Well, you were looking at me with some...
Well, I always look at you that way.
That's true, too.
How far do you thin them? Do you do the knuckles?
The hand, 5-6 inches.
That's a lot. I don't, but the burgundy plum was a problem last year with too much fruit, and I went out and thinned for a minute or an hour or something, and I... made almost no dent in the tree. So
it can be difficult. Some people don't want to go out and take that fruit off, but you'll get larger fruit in the long run and better fruit. So, and you won't damage the branches as much. And so
there are some branches hanging down, touching the ground, which need to be.
I typically start with just going out and taking anything that's just, you know, one of the runts of the litter. I just start taking those off, and then I'll go out a day or two later and see, you know.
You're so fruit judgmental.
I'm very fruit judgmental.
You have to be, I think.
Well, my part of my problem with that is the one that needs to be removed as I'm going through is usually the biggest, best-looking one. And so it should come off, but I don't want to take that one off.
Take another one off.
And then just go out of order. Three knuckles instead of four.
Do you have OCD? Does it have to be perfect? And I know that's not true because I know
yes and no.
Okay.
Clearly, yes, but not to the point of properly taking care of and thinning the fruit.
I meant from a neatness standpoint, you know.
Heck no.
That's why I'm thinking you can let that go.
That's what always That's what always bothers me is because the one that needs to go is the one that I want to keep.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Do you eat them while they're still green when you're thinning?
It depends on what they are.
Plums.
They have to be pretty big and green for me to still eat them. When they're tiny like that, no.
No, when they're tiny, no. But halfway along.
If they start getting
along,
there, I might take a bite just to see where they are.
There's some good tart in some of those.
Yeah.
And so now we are, you know, towards the latter part of May. Are you still planting anything for your vegetable garden? Are you getting things in, or do you plan on planting?
I haven't started. I'm going to.
Now, I know that I shared some seeds with you that when Capri and I were back at Monticello, we purchased some of the seeds that were grown there and harvested at
That was a lot of pressure. That's presumptuous of you.
Well, in fairness, I gave you some of the seeds. And
and thank you very much.
Well, ours are still in the package, just so you know. In fact, they're probably in this bag I brought with me today. I have not planted ours yet, so we have to get
giving those. Somebody seeds is very presumptuous and creates work for them. How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
How dare you?
We still have a large amount of planting to do. The only thing, like the foundation plantings for the summer garden right now are just tomatoes and some squash. That's all we really have in.
Yeah, I don't even plant peppers until like June in my house.
That's like a week and a half away, so you're ready to get ready.
Good point. maybe a little.
So,
prep time.
We were talking about that last night, that Capri's ready to get out there and, you know, get all the old stuff out, and we need to get the new stuff in.
I do too, but I'm talking big, but I haven't done anything. I have done a pretty good job of keeping the weeds mowed. There's more work to do there, because they're getting to the point where the burrs, the ones we were just talking about earlier, plus the curlicue ones from whatever
whatever it is,
and mowing those up and putting them in the recycling for somebody else's mulch pile is what I like to do with those, and that time is now, and then maybe I can put some. I always talk about putting in squash, but I never take proper care of it, and everybody says, "Oh, I got so much zucchini."
It's so easy to grow, but it's mildew. I like it, but
they do get mildew. Yeah. But you know, you know what's really an easy one to grow, and it lasts a long time on the vine and on the shelf is butternut squash.
Yeah,
that grows.
I agree 100%.
Really well.
And now is the time to put that in, and it stores. Why do they call it winter squash? Because you grow it in the winter?
Because you grow it in the summer, harvest in the fall, and keep it for a long, long time.
Because it'll keep for months.
We ate butternut squash from our garden, I think, in February from the previous summer garden. Yeah. So
I may have kept some a little bit longer than that as well. It does keep. And the Waltham butternut squash, plus the new, the new smaller ones that are even more richly flavored, the baby butternut.
If it has the word butter in it, it's got to be good.
It's got to be good. And they keep. Yeah, it is.
They do
that
keep,
is great. Yeah. And that is much better than the summer squash, which you have to use right away.
Immediately.
Which, of course, you could freeze, right? You can cook it and freeze it.
You can do a whole bunch of things.
Save
you can
gross,
maybe
mealy squash for later in the season.
That's appealing.
Do you barbecue it? Do you slice it and barbecue it?
Olive oil and garlic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, I may have been ruined from garlic... I had garlic fries up in McKinleyville.
Okay.
And it was way overpowering. Audrey loved it.
I would love it. I mean, I have
but
to
it was
taste
way
it.
Too much, and I don't know if you smelled it when you got in the car today. I'm sure not. There's a garlic fry under the seat somewhere, because after the car's been closed for an hour and come back to it, it smells like garlic fries.
That's funny.
Do we have any more classes coming up?
We do. 9 o'clock, San Diego has Pest Management with James, and at 9:30 in Poway, Organic Insect Controls with me, and we'll see you then.
We're not there yet, are we? How many seconds? Oh, we are there. Boom, boom, boom. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll have another hour of Garden Talk next week. Auto Talk is coming up next.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.